Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Friends, family, and loved ones, I bet you haven't purchased a Father's Day gift yet. Now, have you? Not to fear, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming are here. And I'm talking about my friends at Manscaped. They're saving the day yet again with a total package for the father figure in your life this year. Have him join the 8 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at Manscaped.com. Let's start with the ultimate Father's Day MVP, the Performance Package 4.0. In this package, you're going to find this signature lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, brand new weed whacker 2.0 ear and nose trimmer, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all the goodies. And you can't forget my favorite. It's the moneymaker. Manscaped has changed the game with the brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit for fathers all around the world. If his grooming routine is already dialed in, make sure you hook him up with Manscaped Boxers 2.0. These are without a doubt the best boxers for men all ages. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Promo code Bubba. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Promo Bubba. Make this Father's Day one he won't forget with Manscaped.
Hello. Welcome to the party. Oh, shit. Didn't mean to do that. I'm all rusty. Welcome to the Anna Hummel Show. We're getting started. About right on time. Not too late. If you'd like to call in, I probably won't take it. 813-90-BUBBA. Just kidding. I'll take it, but I'll make you wait an hour and 20 minutes. Sorry, Dave the Plumber. I did feel bad about that. But also, you know, you feel free to just hang up. You don't have to stay on hold. But I won't keep you on hold because that wastes money, I learned. That wastes money. 813-90-BUBBA if you'd like to call into the show and talk to me. Because I'm just going to be talking to myself for the next hour. I always say I'm going to do an hour and then I do like fucking 2 hours. But I was having so much fun listening to me talk to myself. I feel like it's a little droopy right now. Lots of things going on. Did not feel great yesterday, and Babyface had convinced me that I had strep throat, even though I had no pain in my throat. Went home, felt like absolute garbage, total garbage. Had to cancel a lunch with a friend. Came out from Sarasota to do some shit, and I was like, listen, I feel like a booty, so... And I always feel like it sounds like I'm lying when I say that I'm sick because I'm rarely sick, A. And B, it just sounds like you don't want to do whatever you have to do. You just say I'm sick. And I really did want to go to lunch with my friend and Blitz was going to come too. It was going to be a little bit of a party deal. And I just said I fucking cannot hang. So I went home and ate and fell asleep on the couch for almost 4 hours. I just felt run down. And, you know, the days of me trying to... I don't know if this is an age thing or this is a new mindset thing or maybe a combination of both. I used to be, like, kind of like David Goggins a little bit. Not, like, full-blown, like, running 100 miles on broken shins with shin splints. Not like that, but I used to be, like, don't be a little bitch. I know you guys think I'm soft, and I am soft compared to the other people on the show, but I used to push through a lot of things. I'm a pretty disciplined person. And now I'm like, what am I trying to prove? I feel like shit. And the more you spend time with your body, the more you kind of, like Bubba talks about this, the more you know just the ins and outs of, you know, how it moves, how it functions. And I'm very much aware of the difference between me not wanting to do something because I'm being lazy versus, like, me on the precipice of getting sick. And I go, my body is telling me to slow the F down, sit the F down, and go to bed. So that is what I did. I fell asleep on the couch for like 4 hours, woke up, it was like 8:30, and you're like, oh no, how am I going to get back to sleep? And then, you know, you just have to, maybe I did the little Lady and the Tramp deal with my man and a Zanny bar, if you know what I'm saying. And boom, back asleep. Woke up, feeling good, feeling refreshed, feeling better. And that is, I feel like that is, that's the smarter approach. I used to, there were many times where I would not listen to my body and be like, just push through, do the workout, stay up late, go to whatever. I used to do yoga. I used to do Muay Thai back in the day, not for very long. And I remember one time I pushed myself to do a Muay Thai class, and I was not feeling it. Had a horrible class, went home, and what would have just been me taking a day off ended up me being sick for a week. I fucked myself really bad, and I mean, really bad. I was like in a bed for a week, really trying to fight shit off. So as much as I encourage you to move your body, I encourage you more to know your body and kind of know when you're being a lazy motherfucker and when your body is trying to speak to you. You know, I'm not a religious person. I wouldn't even say I consider myself spiritual. I'm spiritual in a secular kind of way. I'm not like I believe in the will of the universe and all that sort of shit. You won't hear me talk about stuff like that or astrology, but I do think that there is a like an emotional kind of spiritual side where you got to be more intuitive. You got to listen. And sometimes your body is telling you, please stop. We're trying to fight something off here. And what I learned recently with viruses, let's say specifically, like the flu or COVID, there's nothing. I didn't put those on hold, by the way. Somebody else did. Just letting you know, there are phone calls on hold. I did not put them. I don't think I did. Did I touch the phones? I don't know. And I know that that's wasting money. So I think my hands have been on camera the whole time. But I do know that there is a spiritual component, an emotional component that needs to be actualized and recognized. So I try to listen to the body when it speaks to me. Oh, this is what I was going to say. COVID, the flu. When your muscles are like really achy during that, and when you have brain fog, apparently I've learned that that has nothing to do with the actual virus. It has nothing to do with the virus that has entered your body. It's your own immune system that is making you feel achy, giving you brain fog because it's trying to gather the troops and all those resources and go attack the pathogen, the parasite, whatever, the foreign agent that's entered your body that is trying to fight off. That's why it's purposely shutting you down, because it's taking a lot more resources to go fight whatever it's got to fight to preserve your body. So now I look at it a different way. I go, what is my body trying to tell me? I feel like shit. I'm really achy. I did work out the day before, so I'm like, am I just sore? But this feels different. So I'm like, I try to really like listen when the body's trying to talk to me. So I guess in that way, I can get a little spiritual. I get spiritual when it comes to, you know, just trying to satisfy the emotional side of every human being, the need to feel connected. And you don't necessarily need, at least in my opinion, you don't need God for that. You don't need a church for that. But you do need to find those aspects somewhere. Otherwise, the brain goes haywire. And I know the theme of the show the last few weeks has been to kind of honor and respect that ancestral body, that ancestral brain, whether it be, like I said, getting daylight, getting your steps in, eating right, fasting, getting sleep, and then, of course, connecting to your community, connecting to the people around you so that you feel like you, A, belong, and B, matter. Those two things are very important to the human brain. And when you don't have those things, you don't tend to live as long or very long if you don't feel connected and you don't feel like you belong. And sometimes when things are really bad, instead of just letting yourself kind of lie by the wayside and lead a depressed life, which is the better case, sometimes you pick up an AR and you start, you know, showing people who's boss, which I do not recommend. That's when the brain goes real haywire. So, anyways, 813-90-BUBBA. We'll take a few calls. Hello, who's this? Welcome to the show.
That's Mark the Frog.
Oh, sorry. That was my fault. Yes, Mark the Frog. How are you doing?
Good. I started intermittent fasting again because I did it 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
So I started to do it Monday.
Why'd you quit?
I don't know. Got back into the whole bad habits, you know?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't know.
I lost 80 pounds. I lost 80 pounds in like 4 months.
80 pounds in 4 months? I'm trying to find the chat, guys. Go ahead. And you did that just solely by intermittent fasting?
And stop eating junk food. Mostly fruits and vegetables.
Okay. That's fantastic. That's a big component of not eating processed shit, which isn't even really food. It's what the people like to call Frankenfood. It's not real. You shouldn't be eating it. Oh, here we go.
So I'm big on the fruits and vegetables pretty much all week. No dairy, no pasta, no bread, you know.
Good, excellent. And what else can you tell me? Yeah.
Well, I've been 12 days in a truck, and I'm finally going home. I live 35 minutes from Montreal, so I'll be home in half an hour.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, how are you surviving the smoke?
Exactly. I was there on the weekend, on Saturday morning, last weekend.
Yeah.
The cops and firemen had to escort me to the lobster plant because to evacuate the lobsters, they were out of power.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go in the fire zone with an escort.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
It was pretty sketchy. Yeah, it was pretty sketchy.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah. And, I drove 5,000 miles in, 12 days.
That's incredible. Well, thank you for calling in. I'm glad you lost 80 pounds intermittent fasting and cutting out processed shit. And it sounds like you're killing it. Sounds like everything's doing great.
I think it's mostly diet. It's mostly all the processed food is what it is, right?
Yeah, I think if you can cut out processed food, that's pretty much, that's key. That's probably the first thing that you need to do. But again, I'll be screaming this till the cows come home. I don't know if anybody's going to listen to me. But I'm trying to make a difference in some regard in people's lives, because my favorite thing about this is that it's not complicated. I realize how simple it is, but there's just so many things, especially people that don't know very much, they're very confused as to how to even get started. And I'm telling you that what they should do is just listen to me, because I'm always right.
Yeah, you are.
Right, okay.
It takes willpower. It takes willpower.
Yeah, it does. It does take willpower. It does. Mark, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Stay safe out there, okay, friend?
Have a great weekend.
All right, you as well. Thank you. Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's Willie. How you doing, Anna?
It's Willie?
Willie from New York. Yeah.
Willie, okay.
I talked a couple weeks ago to you. I got two things I wanted to hit with you.
Yeah.
Two important things. So the first thing was, we talked about Project Pegasus, and I know with you being from the Israelis and the sanctimonious, the Torah, just fire, Jujuba Jairus, the Israel stuff. So I was trying to think about if you knew about the Project Pegasus and about the Israeli, how they turned it into. Oh, also, did you know Mr. Frog? He was on Clyde Lewis with Ground Zero. It's a night show from 10 to 1. And he was talking about aliens, interdimensional beings. That guy gets around. And he was on Leo Laporte's Twitch show asking about computers. So that dude does a computer show.
Okay.
And Mark the Frog is over on there. He needed help with GPS or something with a computer for the truck. But get back to Project Pegasus, Anna. I know you do great on the, when you're talking on the show, but I wanted to talk to you about that. Because you know what they term Project Pegasus? Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't. I do remember you calling in to want to talk about it, and then I forgot to look it up. So I don't know if it's a thing.
So it's a real thing. And so Israel, they weren't allowed. They wanted, during the Obama era, they wanted to go and bomb the nuclear facility in Iran. And they had it all planned out. That's actually what the new Top Gun Maverick movie is all about, them going and blowing up one of them nuclear facilities. Well, Obama said no. So what they did was they created this super spyware. Have you ever heard of spyware?
Yeah.
Okay. So literally what this thing can do, and what they did, they made it to infiltrate the Iran's nuclear facility and take out their centrifuges.
Okay.
So they made this, it's a virus. They made this super fucking virus. And it's so good. This is how good it is. All they need is a number. You don't got to click nothing. You don't got to do nothing. That's how they got Khashoggi. They got Jeff Bezos with Pegasus because they're selling it now. When Israel sent it to them and they blew up their centrifuges and they were playing songs, it made all their speakers and their loud horns go off in their songs, and it blew up their centrifuges. It set them back 2 to 3 years. They went into their systems and they found that super virus spyware, and now they're selling it for $5-10 million a copy. And so Saudi Arabia's got a hold of it from somebody else, and so when these countries get a hold of that, I mean it takes a lot of money, but if you got $5 or $10 million, you can get that, and you can hack anything, anyone, an iPhone, Android, Windows, Linux. It can get into anything. It's like the super thing of, and all you need is one connection. You don't got to click nothing, open an email, anything. And it's wild because it's out, and that's how they're getting all these journalists. And so that's why people on the tour. And you being from Israel is something important because, you know, Jabba Judah, you know, the fatherland. The next thing I wanted to get at, you know, a lot of people hate on you, you know, because it's hard sometimes to like you, but I found one lovable thing, because when you
just
go, I just get all gillied up. I love you, Anna.
The swallow it. Thank you for calling in. A1390Bubba. Wow, that was a lot. I hope that's not what I sound like to you guys, because I clearly like the sound of his own voice, but everyone does. So I understand it. I get it. I embrace it. Happy belated birthday to my father, to my dad. Yesterday was his birthday. He was having just a grand old time being his vegan self, just having fun. He's going on a trip soon. And Dad, if you're listening, I love you and thank you for everything. I know people give me and my upbringing a bunch of heat because they think here's the thing. I wasn't spoiled. I was coddled. And I don't even want to say I was sheltered, because it's not that I didn't know about like sex or stuff like that. And it's not that I was spoiled given a brand new car when I turned 16 or anything like that either. It was more of this just we'll do it for you mentality. I was very coddled as a kid. But, you know, when you think about all the ways you can fuck somebody up as a child, then obviously that child turns into an adult. That's pretty much the best one that you can have, is that you were just over-coddled versus the reverse. Like, I wasn't neglected. Dad wasn't an alcoholic. Nobody had a gambling problem. My parents stayed together it seemed like everything was fine during my upbringing. I was involved in activities. I had friends. I always say, you know, sometimes, of course, parents can get a little too involved in their children's lives, no doubt, or coddle them a little too much. But better too many eyes on a kid than too few eyes on a kid. So, yeah, there's lots of ways to fuck kids up, and no one's going to have a perfect upbringing because no parent is perfect. No parent is going to be the perfect parent. And to be honest with you, sometimes you want someone to fuck you up a little bit because that gives you character. No one who's really funny, who was, hello, Brian from Philly, $20. God bless. That's from Brian from Philly. Those are not my words. But thank you, Brian. Let me give you a little love right there. Yeah. There are a lot of ways to fuck kids up. And I think that, like I said, too many eyes on the kid, fine. Of course, that can make, but we want to fuck up our kids just a little bit so that they can have a good sense of humor. So that they could be, so that they can build character, because that's really how you build character, is through adversity. You know, you think about the great comedians, not Jerry Seinfeld, because he seemed to have like a picturesque upbringing and all that. But most people, they were fucked up. You know, some of the greatest comedians of all time were addicts. Greg Giraldo had a problem with alcohol and other things. Mitch Hedberg, who I don't think was the greatest or even close to the greatest of all time, but people love that guy. And that guy had a problem with drugs. Artie Lang. You know, you think about all these people who had issues, who were hilarious. A lot of the Chris Farley. A lot of them had some inner demons, but they were funny. They were good. So it's important to understand that no parent is perfect and no one's going to have the perfect upbringing and raise the perfect child and yada, yada, yada. So I'm glad that, you know, thank you, Dad, for coddling me. Maybe a few chores probably would have been, but they were lessons I ended up learning, but maybe a little bit too late, I would say. Just a little bit too late. It stifled and, what's the word? Stunted my, like, independence, I would say, because I was so reliant on people because I didn't know how to do anything for myself. But, again, it all worked out. It took a few people in college to kind of shake me by the collar and go, you don't do anything. Why are you so lazy? And it was laziness, but more it was just kind of like this blindness where we would have a chore chart and I just like wouldn't do them. Like, but I just, why? Why do I have to do them? I've never done them before. My mom doesn't make me do chores. Why should you make me do chores? That doesn't really add up. But we figured it out. We're all good. 813-90-BUBBA. Feel free to call in. Hello, who's this?
I'm going to stick to fucking sniping people.
What's up, Florida Stanley? How are you?
Yo, let me take you off Bluetooth. Hold on.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I want to tell you the backstory of, like, this whole fucking thing. Hold on. Hand in a car I'm not used to. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. So what day was the 31st? That was Wednesday, wasn't it?
It was Wednesday, yes.
Yeah, so that's when Trapper Keeper Caper happened, was that day.
Trapper Keeper
I was
Caper,
listening.
Yes.
Yeah, it happened at 6:30 in the morning. By 8 a.m., I had those lyrics wrote and emailed to John from Naples.
Mm.
And I've written a couple parodies. He hasn't gotten around to them. Most of them, he says the lyrics are pretty good on them. He just hasn't had time. So I email him the lyrics. I text him, and I say, hey, check your email. I got Trapper Keeper Caper written already. And he goes, what? And I'm like, yeah. So he emails me back and he was like, yo, this is pretty good. Let me see what I can do over the weekend. I said, okay. So then he texts me Friday and he says, hey, we got family coming into town. I may not be able to get to it. Maybe Monday or Tuesday. I say, okay, well, let me know because I might throw something together. Clearly I am not a parody singer.
No, you're just a ghostwriter.
So Sunday night rolls around. I said, hey, were you able to sit down and do anything? He goes, no, sorry. I'm like, all right, well, I'm drunk, but I'm going to try and make something up here. And then, so the next day he goes, yo, don't email Lummy yet. It was Monday. He goes, let me sit down Monday and Tuesday and I'll make something. And then we'll send it in and it'll be on by Friday. I said, okay. So Tuesday night rolls around and he's got nothing. He texts me. He's like, dude, I just really haven't had time. I'm like, fuck, I'm drunk again. All right, now I'm going to make something. I threw that together in 20 minutes.
Oh, dang. Okay. Well, it sounded like you spent just about 20 minutes on it. So I loved it because I think when things are like so bad, they creep over to the other side of being good because it was so unbelievably bad.
Well, and so I was looking at the chat, and everybody was like, oh, you should have talked to Dark Man Steve. I don't have Dark Man Steve's information. I only have John's information. So, I mean, I would have hit him up because John was saying that he didn't have time, which is fine. I mean, I get it. Like, people have lives. But if I would have had Dark Man Steve's information, I would have emailed it to him and see what he thought about it. I'm surprised it didn't play back to back because John from Naples did make a little something last night and emailed it and Lummy has it.
Mm, okay. So we'll probably be hearing that on Monday.
Monday. Yeah. Lummy. I'm surprised they didn't play it back to back, but, yeah. John, you know
how it is during the show. There's a lot going on at any given moment, whether it be, you know, electronics failing, something falling apart, something needs to be rewired, some sort of heat drama, Bubba getting blown up, text, Romina. There's so many moving parts during the show that, you know, something that's hot in the 6 o'clock hour can easily fall off by 8 a.m. So
yeah, you gotta be easy. Don't be pissing off the Diacos. Come on, man.
I know. And it was some light heat, and I talked to Jay after the show. I'm like, you know, it's all good, right? Like we're good, right? Yeah. I certainly do not want to piss off the Diacos. They're very much like the Kennedys of the Tampa Bay area, and yeah. You know, they wield a lot of power, and not only that, I do like the Diacos. They're very nice to me. They invite me to do stuff. Their wives are always very welcoming. I've really not had an issue with any of them personally. But also, you know, I feel like if they wanted to blow in a call and say, hey, you know, can we need a hitman on this one chick, I feel like I'd be dead in about an hour. So yeah. I need to kind of watch my back. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of heat to be had when it comes to things, and I feel like not capping your drink is pretty, you know, low-grade heat.
Yeah. Also, last thing before I get off the phone, I did ask Lummy to ask Bubba, which chat do you watch when the show is going on?
Either YouTube or Rumble. It was Rumble, okay, but then that was kind of glitchy, so I moved to YouTube.
Yeah, I was on YouTube, and I know Lummy saw my question because I did it during a super chat. But he just said, I asked him about DJ Humsauce if he could ask Bubba, and he didn't do it. So maybe I'll try again on Monday.
About DJ Humsauce? This is DJ Humsauce. You're speaking to DJ Humsauce.
No. Like coming to 199.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that should be a problem, but also don't take my word for it because Lummy's really the guy you got to talk to. I don't think it should be an issue. And honestly, and this is my preference, not that my preference matters whatsoever, but, you know, when you got a DJ in the back, I feel like the aesthetic just, it looks better when there's more people in the room versus me just DJing to what looks like an empty room with no one here. Like, I want it, like, in my ideal world, obviously, you know, it depends on ultimately what Bubba wants. But in my ideal world, when I'm DJing, I mean, I want the floor packed. I want people everywhere. I want to see people dancing and bopping around. So
well, exactly.
That's my preference. Again, that's not my decision to make. So
I watched the live stream of EDC Vegas because I couldn't go this year. And it was different. It was just a different feeling when they zoomed in on the DJ and that's all you saw, whereas opposed to panned out where you can actually see the crowd. I mean, it just, even though it's the same song, it's a different feeling when you can see the crowd as well.
Absolutely.
As the DJ.
It's like going to a comedy show and there's like 10 people versus like a packed club of 400.
Yeah.
It just, the laughs, it's just a better experience. The energy in the room is better. So I certainly would like to DJ, you know, to a big crowd of people. And by big crowd, I mean maybe 15. That'd be great.
Well, I'll hit up Lummy again on Monday and see if he pops the question over to Bubba on the show.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely be asking. We got, 2 weeks from today, so we got time.
Yeah,
because
I'm not leaving for Ohio until, like, the 29th, so that's plenty of time for me to...
Beautiful. Plenty of time. Cool.
All right, well, hopefully I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yes, you will. Just like Sunset Music Festival. Sorry about that, by the way. I do feel bad when I bail, but at the end of the day, and I am still, like, kind of a people pleaser. Like, I hate disappointing people. But at the end of the day, you go, well, I'd rather disappoint a few people than have the worst time of my life, which it would have been 2 weeks ago when I was moving on my period, on no sleep, going to work, coming back from New York. Like, it was just too much. It was too much. Much too much. 813-90 Bubba. Next week will be a short week for me. So for those that don't know, DJ Humsauce will come into effect June 23rd. We're going to be celebrating Dan's birthday. Romina should be here as well. From 8 to 10 p.m. on Kick, I believe, is where we're going to be doing Bubba 199s from here on out. And I will be DJing. Yes, me. I have many hobbies. I'm a woman of many talents, some would say. No one but me, I guess. So we'll be doing that. But next week is a short week for me. So we got Monday, Tuesday, regular shows. Wednesday I'll be hosting because Bubba will be getting a colonoscopy. I honestly don't know how he's going to do the fucking show on Tuesday because he's going to be shitting his brains out. I think once that liquid magnesium hits the gut, it's just a complete eradication of anything that's in there, good, bad, and otherwise. So it should be interesting to see what happens. I might be hosting part of Tuesday as well. I wouldn't be surprised if I did the after show on Tuesday and then obviously Wednesday. host the show. And then Thursday early in the morning, about 6:30, I'm off to Boise, Idaho. What? For a bachelorette party. Very, very excited. I'm going to be seeing some people I haven't seen in 14, 15 years. You know, the last time that we saw each other, we were borderline blacked out at college graduation. Not the dean, but the chairman. Not Chairman Mao. That's not his name. Chancellor. Chairman, please. Anna. I've been watching too much History Channel. Chancellor Yang barely spoke English, and he was the one that gave the commencement speech, which was fucking hilarious. He also was the one, out of all of the people, there were so many people at my school. I went to a University of California, Santa Barbara. It was a massive university, massive school. There were so many people there that were either administrators or students or otherwise. So many people that spoke English. So many people that spoke English so well. And they decided to choose the one guy that really couldn't do it. Really couldn't do it. Had problems with R's and L's and everything like that. I don't want to say he was barely literate, because I'm sure he could read and write just fine. But his accent was so thick that it was really hard to decipher what the fuck he was saying. And there were just so many other options that my university had to give a commencement speech and read mostly like English American names. And they really dropped the ball there. So, but flip side, when you're drunk and you're at graduation, it's hilarious because nobody knows what this guy is saying. He's trying to give words of wisdom to the freshly graduating class of 2009. Ah! So old. But I do remember, even though I was sitting there drunk in the sun, which was stupid, I don't recommend to people who are going to graduation in the cap and gown, and it's usually around summertime, especially where I was in California, it was hot as fuck, and we're sitting there in the cap and gown, and I'm just sitting there drunk, and that was not the move, because I thought it'd be cool to get drunk with my buddies at the local pub, at the local bar before the graduation ceremony, and it ended up being just a huge flop, because you think when you're drunk, you want to dance, you want to move, you want to talk. But instead, you got to sit and you got to listen. And you got to sit and listen to a guy who doesn't speak English too well. And he's reading off, I don't know, 800 names. 800 names. Because I think my graduating class was so large, I'm pretty sure they had 5 or 6 different graduation ceremonies. Because otherwise, you would have been reading like 10,000 names. It would have been far too long. So, yeah. I will be seeing some people I haven't seen since that very day. That very day that I graduated. And it's one of those things where you assume you'll see people around, but it's like, how? You're leaving. You're going. Most people, thank you, 2008 recession, most people in my graduating class moved the fuck home. We took our degrees on our backs proudly and marched right back into our parents' living quarters and lived like adult infants like we were. It wasn't good for my graduating class, because you got to think a lot of people were losing their jobs, and a lot of people were losing their jobs who were seasoned vets who'd been in the workforce for 20, 30, maybe even 40 years. They were losing their jobs. There was no way they were hiring fresh new blood. That's not what they were doing in 2008, 2009. So that's why it was kind of not even an option to think that, well, I didn't go right into grad school either. I go, well, job market's not great here. And that was such a great excuse. That was such a great excuse. That was the COVID of 2008/9 was, why are you not succeeding? Now you say, well, I'm fucked up because of COVID, which is not really an excuse, but it's one everyone will accept. You go, oh, why are you so mentally R? Why are you so depressed? Why are you so fat? Why are you so unemployed? Why are you so blank? And you go, COVID. And everyone just goes, yep. I'll accept that as an answer. the excuse in 2009, from my perspective, as to when people would be like, why are you not getting your life together? Why are you a piece of shit? I go, well, the job market sucks. So I have to do other things. I can't be trying to find a real job. So I left the country and bartended in Australia. That is what I did. And it was perfect. I mean, I was young. I was like 22 when I left. And it's like, well, why aren't you trying to get a job here? Oh, well, the job market sucks. Oh, that's fair. Fair enough. And so you leave, and it was great. And it was a great experience. Came back, did the grad school thing. You guys know the rest of the story. 81390 Bubba. I did read an article last night as the Xanax was hitting my system hard. It's a beautiful feeling. I call it, and we'll get to the story, but I call it the wave. Like, because if you want to go to bed, at least for me, and it also depends on how much you eat, you know, Bubba will tell you he's a pill connoisseur. But if you take a pill, obviously, on an empty stomach, it's going to hit a lot faster than if you just ate. So I was kind of like medium full. Not full, but not empty, you know. So I was like, all right, I want to go to bed hardcore. I want to be asleep, you know, face buried in the pillow, asleep, slobbering on myself in 1 hour. So I will take it, you know, an hour prior and took that quarter Xan. And as I was, you start to slip. And then what happens is what I call the wave. And for those that are, you know, not experienced with benzodiazepines, holy shit. I get it. I've always been like, don't take drugs, big pharma shit. And I do talk a lot of smack on big pharma, but every once in a while they come out with a good jam, with a good hit. And benzodiazepines they're awesome when you need them. You know, you shouldn't take them all the time, and it does take a lot of willpower to, you know, you think if you get an amazing night of sleep, you go, all right, well, what did I do to get that amazing night of sleep? Oh, I took a Xanny or a K-Pin or NyQuil or whatever. It's really hard the next night when you're going to bed to not want to take that thing that gave you such a great outcome the day before. It's really hard to go, we're going to do this all natural. But that's, you know, it's like the cheesecake effect. Same with Molly. You don't want to do Molly every weekend. You don't want to do it even once a month, but every quarterly or, you know, semi-annually, you want to treat yourself to a little bit of Molly, fine, no problem. You earned it. You've taken care of your brain to the best of your ability for the last 6 months. You enjoyed it. You earned to, you know, kill a few brain cells. That's no problem. But it takes willpower not to do that. But the same thing applies when it comes to sleeping aids, sleeping pills, is you don't want to overuse them, or some would say abuse them. But when you use them sparingly, they work so fucking well. And when you wake up from a 4-hour nap and you're trying to, you know, turn around in 90 minutes and go back to sleep for another 7, it can be a little challenging unless you have your friend Xanax. And Xanax isn't even really technically a sleeping pill, but because I'm very sensitive to these sorts of things and I don't take Xanax often, that when you do take it, it's just, it relaxes you enough to be able to fall asleep. It doesn't really put you to sleep, but sometimes it's that anxiety barrier that prevents you. You know, we've all experienced where the body is tired, the mind is tired, but you can't help but your mind's racing. You got some shit on your mind. Your boss is angry with you because you didn't take the calm blows that he told you, or whatever, you know, whatever issue Bubba's having with me or issue I'm having with my family, my friends, my man, whatever, you know, we all have issues in our life, daily stresses and stressors that sometimes nothing's wrong. You're just, your brain won't shut the fuck up. Mine is no exception. So it's that anxiety barrier. So what that Xanax does, what it beautifully does, is it just kind of pulls down the veil, you know, on that anxiety. You just kind of go to the anxiety, and then it allows your body to do what it should be doing naturally, which is just allowing you to fall asleep. So something that happens probably usually about it 45 minutes to an hour in is what I get is the effect I call the wave, where, you know, it's not hitting. And then all of a sudden you just feel this like sense of peace and tranquility and serenity. And you just go, it's about to hit. And then it's kind of almost like a placebo, like, I know I'm going to be okay. I know I'm going to be able to fall asleep, which makes you relax even further. It's like the snowball effect that you want. You go, I'm feeling relaxed. I know I'm going to sleep well. Now I'm relaxed. Good night. Peace out. See you later. Boom. And then you're out and you feel amazing. And I don't even know how we got here, but all I know is I've been talking about Xanax for the last hour, and it sucks because it's like, dude, I fucking hate Big Pharma. You know, they spend more on lobbyist shit than even the oil companies. I think it's like, I heard it was five times more Big Pharma spends on lobbying than even, you know, big oil, big food. They got their hands in a lot of shit, and they're making a lot of money. And I, you know, during the Shmova deal, I was maybe talking some trash, but then they come out with something real cool, like benzodiazepines, and you just go, okay, hold on, let's hold the phone. This is kind of awesome. But you got to use it sparingly, because if you use it too much, then you ruin it. You ruin it. Much like I ruined intermittent fasting, I did it too much. It worked too well. It worked too. People ask me, does it work? I go, it worked too fucking well. It worked so fucking well that I have to now dial it back because I am now becoming catabolic, which is not the goal. And I was very transparent because I'm the type of person to take that song that you love and play it every fucking minute of every day until you hate that fucking song. That is what I do well, is overdo things. Take a good thing, take a beautiful thing, and then overuse it and abuse it. That's my MO. So with pharmaceuticals, I got to be real careful because I don't want to say I have an addictive personality, but I'm going to say, no, I don't. I actually have the opposite of an addictive personality. I have a disciplined personality, but sometimes discipline can take you to dark, dirty places. Okay, real bad places where you start under-eating, over-fasting, getting catabolic. So, you know, there's a dark side to everything, and I am allergic to moderation. I'm either like kind of an all-or-nothing kind of gal. I really have no interest in drinking whatsoever unless I can get pretty fucking drunk. Because what's the point? What's the point of a drink? When I was at brunch with the girlies on... was it Sunday? I don't know. It feels so long ago. I had one drink, and it was probably the dumbest $12 I've wasted. Because I had a full stomach. I'm having one glass of wine. I feel nothing. I want to keep drinking more, but I have to shut it off because I got to drive in a few hours. I'm like, why did I do that? Either go dry or go, you know, full throttle, foot on the accelerator. To have one drink is probably the dumbest thing that one could do. You know, I did it, and it tasted good. It was actually a really nice wine. I took a picture of the whatever it was because it was fucking awesome. I love me a Pinot Grigio because I'm a basic white bitch in that regard. But it's pretty much the dumbest expense you can make is to have a drink. Maybe socially. Maybe if you're having, you know, like a drink with, I don't know, work people so you don't look fucking weird. So people are like, why are you drinking water? And then you're like, then you got to explain. You don't want any of that shit, especially when you're trying to just, you know, be cool and blend. But I didn't need to blend with my girlfriends. Like, they're cool as fuck. So it was kind of money wasted. And I remember as soon as I ordered that drink, I go, why did I do that? Now I'm going to want another one. And now I'm just stuck with this drink. I'm not going to be drunk. And now I've just wasted money. So I'm really an all or nothing kind of gal. I have a lot of discipline. So I'm pretty good when it comes to the pharmaceutical drugs. And I also just kind of, you know, you want to keep it in your pocket as a special weapon. You don't want to have it as like your MO must need to go to bed sort of thing. But all I got to say is I felt pretty fucking good today compared to yesterday, because yesterday was bad. I mean, it was a great day, and I'm grateful for every day that I have my health. But in terms of, I just felt weak. I felt run down. I was worried I was going to get strep throat because I thought Brian knew what the fuck he was talking about. Turns out he doesn't. Thank God. So we're back, baby. Maybe I'll go for a run. Maybe I won't. We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, next week I'm going to Idaho. Yeah. When she initially told me that that's where the bachelorette party was, I was like, are you saying Vegas wrong? Or no, we're going to Boise. I'm like, that doesn't scream bachelorette party to me, but hey, I'm open-minded. I've never been to Idaho before. I know that there are places in Idaho that are beautiful, And being the snob from San Diego that I am, and now, you know, to the East Coast, well, the West Coast of Florida, but the East Coast of the United States, you know, we're kind of snobs, us coastal people. You know, we expect to see water and not on a lake. We want water from the oceans. That's what we like to see. We like waves. We like sand, not gravel. So being the snob that I am from San Diego, I very much considered Idaho to be what, you know, it's kind of a derogatory term for, you know, the middle of the country, but, you know, flyover states. Yeah, I lived in one for 4 years. Don't recommend. But when people would say things like, oh, you know, like Reagan, for instance, God bless her. She's like, yeah, you should check out Cleveland. I'm like, yeah, how about never?
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
How about never that? The only reason conceivably that I would even be in Ohio ever, like purposefully, would be to go to Serpent's Mound. In, I don't even know where the fuck that is. I think the closest city to that is Columbus, maybe. Maybe it's Dayton, I don't know. But that's like, you know, that's like a Graham Hancock sort of ancient Native Americans built this beautiful ray serpent in the ground, and the mouth opens right where the sun aligns during the summer solstice, June 21st, coming up on it, longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. That's why I would go to Ohio to see something like that. But I'm not going to Ohio to see what is it? The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Is that in Cleveland? Does anyone know? Does anyone care? Yeah, I'll never go. Hey, I'll call it out. Cotty with $1.99. That's my worth right there. 81390 Bubba. Yeah, so I would very much consider, you know, Idaho to be a flyover state. Is Idaho the Midwest? Question mark. Because I feel like geographically it's more Midwest than, say, Ohio or Illinois or Indiana, which is kind of odd when we call it the Midwest. I was always very confused. I'm like, well, how is Michigan? When I first moved to Michigan, they're like, yeah, Midwest. I'm like, has anyone looked at a map recently? There's nothing really west about it. Maybe you could make, there's an argument for mid. It's more northeast, if anything, I guess, and if we're talking about quadrants, but it's more of a cultural, you know, it's a regional thing, but it's more of a cultural idea of like, oh, Midwest, Indiana, Illinois, Kansas, I don't know. I don't want to say it was very different from my upbringing. We had a little bit more of what you could call the diversity. You know, I know in some places in the Midwest, in the big cities, of course, Chicago, Detroit, Indianapolis, I'm sure there's more diversity. But in much of the Midwest, it seems like it's, you know, white people. So, and not that there's anything wrong with that, and not just like, but I'm talking about like Americana white people, not just any, not hoity-toity, waspy white people. We're talking about, you know, homegrown, maybe a little blue collar, maybe a little white collar, but mostly blue collar. And I appreciate those people. I feel like a lot of those people are the lifeblood of this country in, you know, all of the, in when it comes to manufacturing and, you know, stuff like that. Hard work. Well, I feel like I like people from, when I meet people from the Midwest, I like the hospitality. There's a different mindset of a simpler time, you know, the centered around the family and hard work. And these people are familiar with like parks and the outdoors. Whereas when you meet someone who is born and bred in the city, it's just a different sort of expectation. It's very hard to impress those people from New York City because they've seen it all. They've experienced, they've seen some horrific shit. And when you're trying to impress people maybe with a fun story, don't tell it to someone who comes from a big city because they've already seen it. They've lived it. They bought the t-shirt. But you tell someone, a nice person from, you know, Oklahoma, a crazy story, they're going to be impressed by you. You know, and I like those people. I find value in people from that have Midwestern ideals. And I feel like I'm now shifting because I've moved to the burbs. And I mean the motherfucking burbs. Like where I lived before was like kind of the burbs, I guess. And I'm free. I'm happy to tell like pretty much where exactly where I lived because I don't live there anymore. But it's right off of, maybe I shouldn't tell you actually, cause maybe some people still live there, but it was Northern St. Petersburg, let's just say. And it's the burbs. It's certainly not a big city. It's not a metro area and it's certainly not rural, but when you think of the burbs, the like idyllic sort of, you have a backyard, you're not living in a condominium or an apartment, but just, you got a front yard, you got a backyard, you got a driveway, you got a garage. Things that were foreign to me for the last 10 years. I never had a garage, never had a driveway. It's just, you know, park your car in the fucking spot and, you know, walk your way to the door, go up a few stairs, blah, blah. I don't have to do that shit no more. So, yes, it's very interesting even how politically things have changed. I'll tell you that I'm Northern Pinellas. You know, I'm happy to, I'll just tell you I live in Dunedin. That's fine. I'm not telling you where. But for those that are even familiar with the area that are listening. And when you move from St. Petersburg to Dunedin, I really didn't think that there was going to be much of a cultural shift, political shift. And boy, was I wrong. It went from rainbow flags to American flags real fucking quick. And also, for those that don't know, our beloved or formerly beloved governor, Ron DeSantis, is born and bred Dunedin. So you see a lot of Ron DeSantis, see a lot of Trump flags, see a lot of American flags. And listen, I love seeing me an American flag. Nothing makes me happier to see people showing pride for this great nation. And it is a great nation. That's not to say that it's a perfect nation. That's not to say that we haven't done some fucking horrific shit. But we're winners, not losers. And we've done some incredible things. And there's a reason why people from shittier countries are trying to get into this country, not because it sucks, but because it's amazing. And even when it's not in its best day, it's still amazing. You know, you got to think, like, even for those listening that are of a, you know, not to bring this back to weight, but you think about, like, for example, sometimes I have bad body image days, not going to lie. Times I like going, you could do better. Or gain a few pounds. Not that it's a big deal. But, you know, you go, not great. And then you watch something like My 600-Pound Life, for example. And you go, wow. Even on my fucking worst day, my worst day of my worst year, where I was either, like, overweight or underweight or just looked like shit, I am still a 10 out of 10 compared to that gremlin over there. Just kind of gives you some insight. So that's kind of like, you know, forgot where I was going with all this Pinellas. Oh, America being great, right? So, yes, even on our fucking worst day, on our ugliest day, when we have, you know, a corpse in the White House and an impending recession, and you got the Schmovid, and or you got the, you know, you got slavery. I don't even want to bring that up. But whatever. Even on your worst day, we're still way hotter than Bangladesh. Ugh, so much hotter. We're still hotter than Nicaragua, Venezuela. Still hotter than Somalia, Yemen. You know, we're way, way hotter than all those nations, even on our ugliest day. So it's important to keep that in mind. So, yeah, I do have a bit of a rule. I don't have a lot of rules within my relationship in terms of like, well, yeah, you know, please don't fuck anybody else. That's a pretty self-explanatory rule. But when it comes to just how I conduct business, I've made it very known that I don't feel comfortable putting anything political on our front lawn. I see a lot of DeSantis flags and posters and the things with the, I guess they're just called signs, idiot. Idiot being me. I don't want to see any of that shit. I told Blitz, I go, please, none of that. I don't want to have a DeSantis flag. I don't want to have a rainbow flag. I want to have a trans flag. I don't want to have a Trump flag. I don't want to have no damn flags except an American flag. Because in my mind, you are a fucking target. And the last thing I need is some angry, you know, weirdo walking down the street and sees that I have a BLM, whatever, and they decide to burn my house down. Not okay. Or vice versa, you know, which is probably more likely, where I don't have the BLM flag or whatever. You understand what I'm saying. I don't want to be a target for anything. I won't put anything political on my car. That's a big no-no for me. Why do people need to know on the road who I'm voting for? What is? I feel like that's just like welcoming. I even understand wearing a T-shirt. Like to me, even wearing a T-shirt, okay, someone confronts you, fine. But when you're in a car, when you're in like a weapon, you're in a weapon, and other people are in weapons around you. When people are at their worst when they're driving. You know, they're going to a job they hate. They're coming home. They're sitting in traffic. They have time to ruminate on their problems. The last thing I want to do is aggravate someone when they're in a metal weapon going 80 miles on the highway. The last thing I want to do is aggravate that person to do something fucking crazy to me on the road. Okay? That is not... people are truly at their worst when they're driving. And I know that because I'm one of them. I've done some dumb shit. The time I was coming home from Horn Blasters. Zephyr Hills, and I'm driving, and I was just being an asshole. Some guy was trying to like get over, and it was like he was cutting me off, and I was just being an asshole and not letting him get over, or whatever. And I thought it was hilarious. Like I was having a great time because I was bored and hating my life in that moment too. And I could see he was visibly upset, and I'm just like waving, smiling. Like the last thing that you want to see is someone who's mad is someone who's happy, who thinks that the situation is now humorous. And that's exactly what I was doing, which was aggravating him more, which was making me laugh more. So it was just a, you know, it was not a good combination. It was oil and water. And I needed to, like, merge to get on the four, whatever. The details are too boring to tell. But he wasn't letting me get over. And I was about to end up in a ditch. And at the last moment, he let me move over and he rolled down his window and I heard what I thought was a gunshot. He rolled down the window. He put an apparatus outside of his window. He was in the driver's seat, obviously. And I heard a boom and I saw shit come out. I don't know what to this day, I'm still not sure. In my mind, it wasn't a bullet, but something like came out of an apparatus. I think it was like, I don't know if it was a potato gun. I don't know what the fuck it was. It was a firearm kind of, but I saw some like white shit. Like, I don't know if it was like a ribbon or like confetti or I don't know. I don't know what the fuck it was to this day, but there was a boom. And there was some white smoke. I'm not quite sure because I was driving as well, so it was hard to see. But it scared the living shit out of me. And I remember in that moment, I go, okay, I'm lucky that wasn't a real gun because I was fucking with this guy for a good 15 minutes. Like, and I was on, I think it was 301, those that are local can tell me. I've lived here for 7 years, but I still feel like I moved here yesterday. I think it was 301. So you're on that road for like 20 miles to get to Hornblasters. So I was messing with this guy for a minute, right where 301 becomes two lanes, because for most of it it's just a single lane. So, and then I start messing with this guy. He's messing with me, whatever. And then we merge onto the 4, and I just remember him rolling down the window, sticking an apparatus out, probably obviously hitting some sort of a trigger, and something came out of that hole. And I just remember being like, okay, that's a wake-up call. And that scared the shit out of me. And, of course, I, like, you know, jerked and did all that. And I thought I was shot, but I was fine. And I go, let this just be a lesson not to aggravate people on the road, because people are at their absolute worst when they are behind the wheel, as am I. So you got a lot of confidence. And another thing is the anonymity. Oh, I said it right. Perfect. Ugh, I was worried. I'm like, can my tongue say this? Anonymity. The anonymity behind being, behind the wheel of a metal weapon is a lot of times people can't see your face, or you can have it concealed because you're wearing sunglasses. Whereas if you start trying that shit in real time on the street, people see your face. It's a lot more personal. You don't feel, it's like being behind your keyboard. Like you got a little bit more courage when people don't really know who you are or what you're up to. So I just remember in that moment, I said, okay, this is a life lesson, and I'm so grateful that I was able to learn it without any serious consequences, because that could have been a real gun. That happens all the time. If you're, you know, from Florida or live in Florida, you know, Florida man, stuff goes down on the highways. People get shot because of road rage and whatever. So I just remember taking a mental note and going, not worth it, not worth it. So one of the ways to aggravate people on the road is to show your political affiliation. People seem to be aggravated by that. I know I do. I don't let it really get to me. But I think it was maybe 6-7 months ago, whenever it was a Roe v. Wade deal, like there was some stupid bitch who had decorated her car with like Roe v. Wade, you know, my vagina, my choice, like things that should not be in public sight for children, you know, because, you know, even though I don't have children, I still care about the children, you know, mildly. And again, it's not something I say I think we should ban, but also it's just not, it's in poor taste. And I go, wow, that's annoying. And I remember just thinking how annoyed I was with that woman on the road who wrote, you know, with the, I don't know if it's a marker, you know, just married, whatever, whenever they write, it's not chalk, but you understand, it's like a marker that you can wipe off. And she just decorated it into like Roe v. Wade, you know, rainbow, which how I don't understand how those two things are related, but who knows. And I just remember being aggravated, and I'm like, that woman is acquiring and attracting so much attention. It's like you're going to attract the wrong attention from the wrong person in the wrong moment, and they're going to like mess with you or try to drive you off the road or shoot at your tires or shoot at your face. And I can't control what other people do. I can't. But what I can do is I can try to blend. I can try to blend and not be a target, right? This is kind of the whole, you know, oh, she was raped. What was she wearing? You know, a horrible thing to say. But if you are, you know, not saying you deserve to be raped if you're wearing a miniskirt walking by yourself down a dark alleyway at 2 a.m., that doesn't mean you deserve to be raped. But also, like, what did you expect was going to happen, right? There's going to be rapists out there raping. Telling them that raping is wrong really isn't going to change what they're going to do. I think they're very much aware that raping is wrong. I think the issue is they don't care, or they're on drugs, or they're criminals, right? So telling people not to rape, the good men and good people already know this. They're not raping. But, I hate to reference Andrew Tate when it comes to anything, you know, morality-based, but he makes some good points. He's like, if I'm have a $250,000 watch, you know, or chain waving it around in the ghettos of London going, I have a watch, and then I get robbed, you know, for me to blame the person who robbed me is not unfair, but he's like, yeah, of course they shouldn't have robbed me, but also what did you expect was going to happen if you're displaying wealth in a very destitute place where people are known to rob you? Apparently it's really scary out there in London. Some bad places. People are getting stabbed. Maybe they're not getting shot, but they're getting stabbed, and a lot of stealing, a lot of theft. So not safe, not good. So it's one of those things where it's like, be smart and protect yourself. Yeah, there's bad people out there. We know this. And creating legislation and laws against being a bad person isn't going to change bad people and their bad behavior. You have to try to mitigate it on your own end and go, okay, well, what can I control? Well, I cannot be a target. Well, I can be smart and not walk down the alleyway with a short miniskirt at 2 a.m. That's probably a smart idea not to do that versus do that and go, you know, woe is me. You know, I can't believe I was raped. This is horrible. Yeah, it's horrible. But also, let's be smart. Keep your head on a swivel and not do dumb shit. And in my estimation, putting anything from a Trump bumper sticker to a Biden, even to a DeSantis, like, nobody on the road needs to know who the fuck I'm voting for. And nobody walking by my house needs to know who I'm voting for. That's how I feel. So maybe that's a little overbearing. I don't understand why people like to draw that. Is the most interesting thing about you who you voted for? Is that the most interesting thing? You know, I find it even more interesting if you're like, I don't know, I love dogs or some stupid shit. You know, you see women at the wine time or whatever. Not that that's stupid, but to have like a bumper sticker would be kind of dumb. But whatever, like if you have a hobby, it's like a, what's this, salt life. Okay, you're into fucking surfing. Cool. Like that to me is more interesting than who the fuck you voted for. Because who the fuck you voted for, I mean, that doesn't even really involve you. You're just like a fanboy, a mark for somebody else. You know, you're not a politician. You're just a mark for one guy or one gal. But, you know, at least if you're displaying your hobbies on your car, oh, Jeep life and the Jeep stuff. Jeep people are like, whatever. It seemed like they're in a league of their own. But anyways, that's just how I feel, like to keep those things close to the sleeve, close to the heart. And you talk about it on the radio because that's what we're supposed to do. But when it comes to, you know, being in Gen Pop, being in Gen Pop on 275, being in Gen Pop in Dunedin, people don't need to know who the fuck I be voting for because there's some crazy assholes out there who are looking for, you know, a bone to pick, and maybe I'm going to see them on their worst day. Their wife just left them and they hate DeSantis and there's, you know, they wanted to be a baby and it didn't work out and they just got fired from their job because they're not diverse enough. And they're walking through my neighborhood and they just see me with my DeSantis sign and they're just like, that's the one, you know? And I don't need to be running into those people on their worst day. That frightens me. So I would encourage you all to do the same. I don't know, or don't. What the fuck do I? It's free country. Do what you want. But also just know that in my mind, you're taking unnecessary risks when you're broadcasting that on your lawn or on your car. I would never advise anyone do that. So in our home, that's just kind of the policy that we have is, you know, don't ask, don't tell. Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's Sam-o.
It's Jam-o?
Sam, S-A-M.
S-A-M, what's up, Sam?
Hey, I wanted to ask you something about the intermittent fasting. I've been doing it. I started after Bike Week, and which is March, and I started at 260.1. I'm down to 226.8 of last Sunday.
Amazing.
So, but I want to know what did it cause you when you overdid it? Because I've lost since March. I've lost over 30 pounds.
That's so
is
amazing.
That too fast?
I'm so proud of you, Sam. I'm so proud of you. Sam, yeah. I think you're doing great. How tall are you, Sam?
6'3".
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's a lot different than on a guy who's 6'3". Well, I was lucky enough to get a body scan and they give you a lot of different metrics, and on one of the metrics they told me that I was actually in a catabolic state. So I was actually losing muscle. And my fat was like a little bit too low. I was just a little bit too lean. I feel like as a bigger person, you have more room to work with. But when you're 5'3", and at the time,
yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, like when I first started intermittent fasting, I was probably about like 123 pounds, 122, which is totally normal for someone that's 5'3". You know, I wouldn't say that's not heavy at all. I wouldn't say it's especially super thin either. But I got down to like, I mean, I feel weird saying this, but I got down to like 108.5 pounds. Like that was just a little too lean. So I was also having issues with digestion because I was eating one meal a day. So I was just eating too much at one time. So I'm like, okay, I need to just scale it back a little bit. I would say that you're probably fine. There's really no way to tell unless you get like a DEXA scan or a CECA scan. But if you feel like you're not having any digestive issues, because that's initially why I did it, because I was like, man, I feel bloated after I eat for several hours because I'm not eating, and then I just have this giant meal. So that was the one thing where I decided to kind of investigate further and found out I was actually catabolic. But I think that you're fine. You feel good? You feel like you have energy, not bloated, whatever? Feeling good?
Yeah.
And then keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. What I made the mistake is I was doing really well when I was fasting about 18, 19 hours a day. And because I felt so good and because I like to, take a good thing and ruin it, I decided to keep pushing it. So then I was eating every 25 hours, 26 hours, 28 hours, 30 hours. Like, I kept pushing it. So.
Yeah, I did the same. I backed it off. I've got it down to 18 hours, nothing but water, coffee, or tea, unsweetened.
Perfect.
And then anything I want to eat, drink, smoke, anything for 4 hours. I get 4 hours from 4 in the afternoon till 8 at night. And then.
So that's like 20-hour fast, is it?
No, 18.
But you said it.
Yeah, 20.
20, okay. Yeah. That's great. You feel good there? Stay there. Don't keep pushing it like my dumbass. So I took it too far. But it sounds like you're doing great. You feel good, right?
Yeah.
And it's free $3.99.
I don't get winded.
Yes.
I don't get winded.
Got lungs.
Bad, you know. Yeah.
Good.
Okay, well, thank you for everything.
Sam, that's awesome.
Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Sam. Sam is so sweet. I have biker fans now. Who would have thought? 813-90 Bubba. That's fantastic. And I love talking about me some intermittent fasting. Just honestly, mostly because it's fucking free. It's easy to do because you don't have to buy anything. There's no supplements, And it's something that any person who I've talked to that's done it, no one has come and said like, "Hey, and I tried it. It didn't work and fuck you." It's never that response. So I'm so glad that I can kind of just push you in the right direction. And I'm sure a lot of you are listening to me like, shut the fuck up. But maybe, just maybe you're like, all right, let me do my own research here. Start doing your own research. You go, all right, maybe I can do this. And it gets easy fast. For anyone who's looking to even try to lose a few pounds or a lot of pounds, you don't start at 18. If you can't go 12, try to aim for 11. I don't know what to tell you. And then you just slowly work your way up, and it gets easy fast. What's beautiful about the human body is that it adapts quickly. It has to adapt quickly. When things change, you adapt. If the body doesn't get food, don't start with a 20-hour fast, but you start with even 10 hours, 11, 12, and it gets easy so quickly. The beginning, it's a little uncomfortable, but, sometimes you got to just take yourself by the collar and you go, listen, maybe you should like being hungry. Things are happening when you're hungry, processes, the body is rejuvenating itself and embrace the hunger. As I don't want to speak for all countries, but especially in America, it seems like people are petrified of hunger. Oh, no, I'm hungry. Oh, no, you're hungry? Fucking get over it, And it's funny because, that's what I tell Bubba because he's, he's industrial strength. But, God forbid we're a little hungry. We can't hand off. I'll be hungry. And we're fed and, ironically using that word. But we're told, you have to avoid hunger and da-da-da. Why? It's part of the human experience to be a little hungry. And oftentimes, hunger is a transient state. If you just kind of stick it out, have some water, have some black coffee or some tea, then the body goes, okay, I guess we're not hungry. And then you get sharper. Because I was gonna eat, actually, between shows because I'm trying to scale it back. But I go, you know what? I'm going to probably be sharper and on my game if I'm fasted because a lot of things, the brain has to get, obviously at a certain point you'll die, but when you're hungry, when you're fasted, when you're probably in a state of ketosis, you think that you have brain fog and all this shit, but it's actually the opposite. The brain gets sharper because you need, your body's like, I need to hunt for food, right? So we got to get sharper. We got to dial it in. All of a sudden we don't have any more glucose. Now we're switching over to ketones. And I don't know for sure, because I don't know anything about my body, and we'll get into that in a second, talking about being a hypocrite. I know we talked about being a hypocrite during the show. But you get what I think, and I'm not sure, but I think that I often feel like a little lightheaded right when my body's getting into ketosis, going from sugar burning to fat burning. I feel like I know, and I'm not sure if it's true, because a lot of times what happens is I'll get like a little fuzzy, like when the blood sugar is dropping, and I get a little like sometimes a little lightheaded. But if I can push through like even just 20 minutes, maybe have some tea, maybe have some coffee, even just drink some water, then I come out on the other end sharper and like more focused. And I go, huh, I wonder if that's like the transition from sugar burning to fat burning. I did want to briefly talk about me being a hypocrite, because we're all hypocrites, all of us. You know, we do some dumb shit, but then we think that other things are way too risky to do. So, you know, for example, like I'm a germaphobe, right? I wash my hands to the point of them being, they crack, they bleed, they're dry. It's disgusting. It really is. And I'm so afraid of touching a door handle, but I have taken drugs from strangers. So you go, huh, that's an interesting risk analysis. You go, hey, what could be more catastrophic to my health? Touching a dirty door handle or taking drugs from a stranger? Let's play worst case scenario. And when you kind of play it back like that, you go, well, that doesn't really make any sense why my brain would think that, you know, touching a dirty door handle is not okay, but taking drugs from a stranger is great, and we'll do it periodically. So one of the ways that I've found that I'm very hypocritical is, you know, I'm very involved in, I like learning about health. I like learning about health sciences. I love anything to do with nutrition, fitness, longevity. I would say longevity is like my main thing right now. It's like, how can I have a long but good quality of life? Like, and I'm so glad that I got introduced to that now while I'm still relatively young. I know people will contest me on this. I'm certainly not young, but I wouldn't say I'm old yet. But at a time in my 30s where, you know, things are starting to change, but like I still got my period, if you know what I mean. So I'm not that old. But anyways, I'm so obsessed with my health and health markers and getting scans. I've been talking about getting a blood test for probably at least the last 6 to 8 months. And when I had the opportunity to buy a blood test to test my hormones, which I think is probably the most important thing, especially as a woman at my age where things are going to probably start changing somewhat soon, to have a baseline of where you're at so that when something tanks, you can then get another blood test and go out, oh, wow, my estradiol, whatever, is way the fuck off. My thyroid hormone is way the fuck off. No wonder why I'm tired or sad or whatever the case may be. I need to have a baseline. But every time that I get to a crossroads to get that test, I go, huh, I should get a blood test to learn where I'm at with, you know, triglycerides, blood glucose, like all of the things, all and the hormones and everything. I then decide to buy a bunch of DJ equipment, or I then buy a plane ticket to Boise, Idaho, or I decide that I'm going to go to Denver. So I really, it is odd the fact that I'm so obsessed with my health, yet I refuse to buy, I mean, to be fair, it's not cheap. It's like $450 for this exam. And I'm not saying it's not worth it. Of course it is. But it's just every time I'm at that crux, I'm like, yeah, I'd like to do brunch, you know, or I'd like to spend it on something else. Or I'm just being a Jew about it and I don't want to spend $450. It's hard to spend money when there's not a problem, you know, like if there was like I had a chronic issue and I needed to really invest a lot of money into something to investigate why I was feeling bad, you know, that would make sense. But when you're not feeling bad, it's hard to kind of front the money and go, oh, is this really worth it? So the goal is by the end of the year, I need to have all this blood work done so that, A, it's good content, obviously the most important thing, and B, just to learn about my health on the inside. Because I know a lot about the outside and the outer manifestation and kind of keeping a gauge on how I'm feeling and things like that. But to have like some actual quantitative data on what the fuck is going on inside of me, I think would be wise to have that information at my beck and call. So that is the goal, to get that done. If any of you have any recommendations, I even got the test that I needed and like sent the links to myself. Like I emailed them to myself. So there's not even a question of which test to get. It's literally, I need to take out my credit card and stop being a motherfucking and just pay for it, because I need to have this information to really have the full scope of my health. To understand, I did the scans, I did the shit, and I did that because it was free. Yes, I did that because it was free of charge. But I really need to start investing, because blood work tells you a lot of stuff that you really can't get from anything else. You know, you've got the actual information, you got the microbes, you got the DNA. Scans are effective, sure, and often very accurate, but they really can't tell you what a blood test can tell you. Because it's your actual fucking blood. It's pretty accurate stuff. So we'll take a few calls and we'll get the fuck out of here. Hello, who's this? Perfect. Perfect call. Thank you. Hello, who's this? Hello? Hey, it's definitely on. Call back. Hello, who's this? Welcome to the show. No? Really? 3 for 3? Am I getting punked right now? Hello? Talk to me. Hello, who's this?
Anna Hummel, it's Joe the Supermark.
Joe the Supermark. I've come to quite like you, Joe.
Thank you so much, and I like you too, and
thank
I like
you.
The best is when you go,
which is so much fun.
Yeah, nobody's ever done that before, so you broke the chiz area on that one.
Oh, wonderful. How's it going? What did you want to talk about?
I'm celebrating a milestone. I did 22 hours of fasting yesterday.
Amazing. Great. That is that a record for you?
22 is my hottest, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Phenomenal.
How are you feeling?
Yeah.
Body's burning that fat, burning that fuel.
I got through it. I've been doing it around 20. That's my average,
okay.
Is around 20.
Yeah.
So I have breakfast at 9 and I have lunch at 1, and then I don't do anything else
till
for
9
the whole rest of the day back until breakfast again. I do weed and water. That's what gets
weed
me
and
through.
Water. I think weed is free of calories, so you're good to go there.
Yeah, and it's delicious weed, too. It's always the best. I don't do dispensary stuff. I get it right from the grower, and it's top notch.
Wow,
so I'm excited,
okay.
About that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, let me see. Oh, you were talking about benzos.
Yeah.
So I just had my
first encounter.
Now, when I was first training for wrestling, I got my hands on Klonopins.
Ooh,
and I was
that's good
doing
too.
Those while I was training in the ring, so that was nice.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I didn't really get them again until recently this year.
Yeah.
And when I wake up in the morning, I don't know about you. I'm sure you sleep good, and you were talking about being on the X, so that was even better. But I wake up at 3, 4 in the morning, and I physically can't sleep anymore, even though I want to. It's just my body won't allow it.
How many hours of sleep do you have at that point when you wake up at 3 or 4?
Well, I'm usually up around 20 hours a day.
Oh, that's
so I go to bed around midnight, and then I get up around 4 or 11, and then I get up around 3:30 or just
and you just
insane.
Wake Not, up?
Yeah, my body wakes me up. It's brutal, but I did have a lady sneak me a couple K-Pids.
Yeah.
And I got myself a fresh bottle of Cherry NyQuil, and about 15 minutes before, I take my meds at 10 o'clock, you know, my insulin and whatever, but I did the K-Pins with a NyQuil chaser. Oh, my God, I could sleep. On Saturday morning, I slept till like 7:30. It was lit. I was so excited. And then I ran out of the benzos, and now I'm right back. I was up at 3:30 this morning. I just could not sleep anymore, just begging God, please let me sleep.
Right.
And there was no sleep.
Yeah.
But it's all good, because if you get up, you're productive and you could do stuff.
Yeah, but a lot of people aren't. You know, if they don't get enough sleep, they're up for many hours, but you're not really the most productive when you feel run down. Like me yesterday, I felt like shit. And I was going to, you know, in the past, I would have tried to push myself to, you know, stay up later, not nap, or go work out or go for a bike ride. And I was just like, dude, I need to listen to my body is screaming at me to sit the fuck down. And I did. And I'm so glad that I did, because today I feel so much better.
Well, I'm glad, too, because we need you, and we're going to miss you next
Thanks.
Week, and I'm glad you let us know in advance.
Yes.
We've been talking about going there anyways, but, I mean, now it's reality, now it's here.
Yes, it is, and I feel bad taking 2 days off, because I feel like I'm really, like, dropping the ball, because Bubble, it gives us a lot of time off. And, you know, I was really hoping that it would coincide with the trip he was taking, but unfortunately it didn't. So I'm just kind of leaving the team hanging for 2 days, but I'll be hosting on Wednesday. So I feel like that will be my big contribution of the week.
That's going to be your send off, huh?
Yeah. Go out with a bang. Dope. Yes.
Well, hopefully you don't Don Mikowski yourself out of the business.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm done talking to you now. All right, Joe, thanks for calling in. Appreciate you.
I was just joking. Don't take it too serious.
No, I will take it serious. Fuck you, Joe. Sorry, I had to hang up on you just for a dramatic effect. No, Joe, I love you, Joe. Thank you. Even though you are a shit stirrer sometimes, apparently. 813-90-BUBBA. Yeah, so going to Idaho next week. Excited about it. See some peeps I haven't seen in a long time. You know, it's the sometime. One of the last times I saw some of these girls, you know, they were drunk whores and you're helping them get semen out of their hair. And now they're married with two children. So things have changed for these people. It should be interesting to see how it all goes down. Very excited. Very excited. We're going on a wine tour. I have to dress in the theme is snakeskin or something snake. And I hate snake stuff. It's antithetical to who I am as a person. But I did buy and will return to Amazon a snakeskin one piece. It's pretty lit. I tried it on last night. I'm like, this is hilarious. Because it's so unlike me. I'll take lots of pictures. I'll get footage. It'll be great. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate ya. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Here in the Tampa Bay area, it looks like it's going to be very nice and sunny. So go outside and get some of that dew. We'll see you Monday morning, 6 a.m. Be safe. Take care of each other. Love you guys. Goodbye.